Hello, everybody. Today we have the great fortune to be here with Kat Valastour. Hi, Kat.
Hello.
I would like to ask you a first question, of course, that I usually ask to everybody. Would you mind introducing yourself a bit?
Well, I will start with something that maybe like a lot of people, not that I mind about this, but basically the name I have, the Kat Valastour, is like a name that I made for myself. I thought that it was like very liberating to have a name that for me, that it was not a given name in the formal way. And it was the beginning for me in the sense of like, what is my identity in a way? Like, okay, I'm coming from Greece, I was always like trying to find, or I always had questions regarding like, what does it mean to be Greek? What does it mean to be European? And what does it mean to be a female choreographer? So I think like to just start by choosing a name for myself, it gave me, I think, the freedom to create somehow. And of course, this name, it was a very playful creation, in the sense like that it's a name that it comes from both my parents. So in a way, it keeps my root, but then it's made and constructing the way I want it to be for myself. So this is how it all started. I had a bit of traveling before I arrived to Berlin. I was in New York. I had a Fulbright scholarship there. I was at Trisha Brown. So I did more like things that I had to do with basically like experiencing new kind of movements, because I was coming from a rather classical background, I would say. That was mostly my education. And then I returned back to Athens, and where I slowly started to do things of my own, let's say. And then I just wanted to move a bit away, because like I think that at that time Athens was like a place that I was not feeling very I wouldn't expand the way, like, you know, like as an artist, or I wouldn't like flourish in a way as an artist as I wanted to at that time in my life. So I thought that to challenge myself and be away would just offer the right conditions for me to do that. So in Berlin was like a very it just happened somehow. Like, it was not, I mean, there was a pilot program at that time, like a master in the arts, the SODA. I think it's like now a bit more, it's much more, let's say, established. That was 10 years ago already. So it was the right time to do that, you know, like to just come in Berlin and see what's going on.
Great, thank you. And do you see Berlin as a place where you want to stay?
In general, I'm not the person that I like movement a lot. I can also get very easily bored with a place. But at the same time, I think for me, in the hierarchy of the things, when I put, like, for example, okay, questioning, like, okay, where I can do my work in the best conditions possible, I think that somehow now Berlin can offer this to me, and it feels very much like home after all these years. What I would like to do, it's like, because it's not that I have missed Athens or something, but I think like also to have a bit of like to reopen my perspective also towards Athens, what's happening there. It's something I would really like to do in the future. So like, for example, trying to like return in a way back to also like for a part of time that I'm not working in Berlin, and also see what is happening there as well. This is something I would really like to do.
Yeah, and I think it's also like something that it's connected with our roots, being nomads that go like abroad somehow, like you keep on having this curiosity towards your own country and your where you were born, you know? I have this feeling as well as a performer.
Yeah, because like I think like from all these years it was important for me to focus, like, and even though I like traveling a lot, I also have the need to be quite focused and stable in a place somehow. And for the at least at the beginning, for the first years that I was here, like the four first years, I was really didn't have any intention to move unless there was a unless my work was inviting and I had to travel for work. But now that I think that it's like also it's very important to get back to, you know, to things that you have left behind and somehow bring them along, you know, not to lose the contact.
Yes, perfect. And then later I will ask you, but I mean, well, it's very interesting also to understand how this corona situation eventually made us as foreigners or nomads think about our own country. But about this we will go, I will go back later. I would like to start with a quote from you. You say, "I start from the impetuous negative feeling of suffocation forcing me to shout," which is a beautiful sentence. And I wanted to ask you if it's still valid for you, this, and what does it inspire you in this, what does inspire you this state, and where and how the body comes in the equation?
I mean, in a way, it's this is always there. Maybe it has softened through the years. It's like, or it has become a bit more, I'm a bit more conscious of that somehow. Like, so I try to craft it or to integrate it, basically to integrate it in my craft, let's say. Because I always, like, even if I start now, like, also like starting a new creation, it's always a new thing for me. It's not that I mean, I think that there is something that I have made all in all these years, in the sense that there is something that maybe defines what I do. But at the same time, whenever I start something, I always like enter a very unknown space. So in order to start moving, I have to go back or question myself, what is the problem? What do you want to say? What makes you feel, what is that moves? Yeah, what is that moves me, you know? What is that that makes something? So I think like the need to scream or the need to shout about something, which means that I want to talk about something, I want to say something, it's something that it what is what moves me. So in a way, it's always there. Maybe sometimes it's not just about the about anger, which I think is also very motivating feeling and I need it sometimes, but for sure there are things that they annoy me and I really want to talk about them. This is the most is the most personal way to articulate for me. I mean, I sometimes like I like to write, or but I wouldn't never dare to express something with words in the way that I think I can express something with movement. So sometimes it's just the only way. It's like I think the body is is ourself at the same time. There's no separation, you know. There's no separation between the bodies and who we are. I mean, there is a separation now, for example, if you're talking about in technological terms, now we can, of course, talk about separations, but it's still, I think, there's no other way to perceive anything without the body. So it's where we are traumatized, like, you know, it's like all the wounds we have are imprinted on this body, you know. So it's like a way to make, it's our testimony, you know, like the bodies are that. So, and I think it's also very, that is why everything is happening in the end, you know. It's like, if you think about it, it's just these bodies that you see that they're like, they are on the streets. These bodies who are getting killed, is, you know, it's all about that. So, yeah, I believe that the body is our own, is a way to place something out there, you know, and somehow like try to see how you fight about things that you believe in, you know.
You say as well, I visualize a special place and each of my choreographies becomes the event generator of wandering those places. I find this is an amazing, beautiful sentence. I was wondering if you could explain it to us by referring to Arcana Swarm, which is your latest work that premiered last year.
It's very much about displacement and you know, it's in a way, like for me also to, I always talk about like performing as the ultimate displacement, where at the same time there's no more, there's nothing else more real than that. So for example, in Arcana Swarm, in general in my work, I always like to place the body in a, somehow in a almost mythological context. But at the same time, this mythology carries a lot of reality. It's very, very real. I mean, also if you think about what is mythology, it's a way to talk about what is real. For Arcana Swarm, what I try to do is to create this kind of a special space, let's say, in which the joy or what we consider as joy constantly collapses. I actually made a video about this, like, because sometimes, like, you know, what I do, it's like, it can be very ambiguous. And sometimes, like, I don't like to always try to explain, but sometimes I just feel that, okay, maybe it's good to just give something for people to get a bit closer to what you want to do. So I think for Arcana Swarm, for example, I made a video in which I tried to place very strongly all the contrasts that exist in life, you know, like, so you have like, you have pain and happiness at the same time. So how do you make a peace in order to basically try to find, to place a body, not that is in its happiness and not that is constantly in pain, but how do you do this simultaneously? So Arcana Swarm was very much about that.
And so, I mean, you speak also about mythology. Do you relate to a specific mythology or do you relate to a general concept of mythology? I mean, you come from Greece, of course, and there's a huge history, of course, of mythology. Is it more a general concept of mythology, or do you address a specific one? I don't know, for personal experience.
I don't use a lot of references in terms of like, oh, okay, I'm gonna use, for example, Prometheus to talk about technology, or you know, it's, I don't go in that sense. What I try to do is to use it as a tool. I try to just deconstruct it and try to see, okay, apparently in order to talk about something, I will create something in its place that will talk in this kind of language about something. So I think I use it very much as a tool. And I also like it because it's something that is so obsolete right now, you know. And in a way, I kind of like that I create my own mythologies, you know. Yeah, like it's a more poetic way of working, I think.
And a question, do you perform yourself your work as well, or you just prefer to deal with other people, like to work on other people?
It's very hard to work with other people, but at the same time I love it. I don't like to perform myself so much, because I find that it's more complicated or more difficult for me to just not see, I will just use a word, not to see, to have to see the canvas, to see the projection, to see the extension, you know. So I like very much to work with other people, even though it's really challenging, but it's, I think for me it's really beautiful no matter what. Because I think also you kind of like have everything that creates a relationship, you know, all the struggles and the beautiful moments and everything. But sometimes I like to do a solo when I want to go back to my core or question a core, or question things that I have already created or start again somehow. Like, so for example, now I'm going to do a solo work after 6 years that I will perform myself. And it somehow brings me back to difficult questions. It's really challenging, but I also like that as well.
And so you were talking about performers, you know, like, I mean, you deal with, I assume, also very personal feelings. How do you cope with such personal feelings and use performers who are other entities? Does this make them the interpreters of these feelings, or do you bring them to that status, to that feeling? How do you approach this?
Yeah, this is always a question. For example, for Akana's form, it was very open. I mean, in the older works, I would say that before I do the Raspier Soul, this kind of a cycle of works, I was much more working with like an archive of movements. For example, I would create an archive of movements, like, I don't know, 50 movements, and I would say, okay, guys, this is like 50 movements, very small part, you know, like really like an archive of movements that would last for I don't know, like some seconds. And then we would all learn this, and then the composition would start. So I had it was very much based on the movements I do. I believe that I have a particular way of movement myself, and I think like all choreographers have that anyway. But in Arcana Swarm already, for example, there was a condition. I use a lot the aspect of condition. So I set a condition and I say, okay, this is, you are in joy, and how do you create this, a collapse of joy? And what is then if we take the feeling out, I mean, all movements or expressions of feelings, they have a kind of code, let's say a kinetic code. So the thing is, like, the difficulty is always there, because I work very internally also. It's how this kind of kinetic code, which is like, okay, if you see, for example, a person that is very happy, that it has a very particular kinetic code, how this turns into an emotional state. But this is responsibility for each of the performers to try to find this. And I know that that's the most difficult thing you can do as a performer, is to go within and try to reach out for this, you know?
How do you choose your performers? Like, how do you... because I guess, like, some of them you know them already, some of them you don't know. How, I think it's not an easy process, of course, but how do you have the sensation that this is going to be the right performer for this, for what I'm going to do?
The search for performing, it's always like, you know, what I try to do, it's like, I try to have people in my works that they're not typical. So also I like, and it's also something that I still learn for myself, like, and it's always a question. For example, if you take, it has to do very much with the person. For example, if you take someone who has a very particular kind of education, like coming, let's say, from classical or from ballet and stuff, then the question is like, okay, how do you break already the stereotypes that you have created for your body, you know? Because I want this to happen. If it doesn't happen, then I'm not interested in having just the body that can do certain movements. So, but this question is for everybody. So I always choose people who are like, I find charming and they have something that interests me on them. And then always the question is like, okay, how do you break your own habits? So this is always like a process, you know, like sometimes even the difficulty in breaking the habits, it can be very beautiful also on stage, you know, the struggle of like trying to see, okay, I you know, but this is also something that can come out, and I find it also that is like very, the fragility of that is also something that interests me a lot.
Yeah, I find it also interesting because it seems also like a double challenge, you know, of course, because you are kind of leading the work or like the research, and of course you demand, let's say, from the performer to break through and to, but at the same time it's also the challenge for you to be able like to help him to go through, and this is fun, something that is a double challenge, so it's super interesting.
The challenge is mutual, no? It's never just from the performers. And I think it's a process that, this process, like we all, I think, it's an ongoing thing. It will never, I mean, I don't know, maybe when I be 60, I will just say, okay, now I have it. But I think like it's something that you always learn through the process.
And I was saying before, we have been living in a very strange moment now, which is, of course, caused by COVID-19, which is a moment of apparent stillness. How this corona period affected or made you reflect?
Yeah, for me, it was really a very, very interesting period. I mean, now I think it's much more... I mean, it's really I think it's like something that we all globally experience, which is already something quite interesting, you know. So it's something that I think at least our generation didn't. I mean, not the times, like the people that we live now, we haven't experienced it before. And for sure, it really made me think a lot or set questions again, in the sense like, okay, what you have created so far also in dance, how we deal with issues of community, of the market, of ourselves as artists. It gave us all, I think, at least, no, maybe it's better if I talk personally, because I don't think that everybody really enjoyed it, but it's not that I enjoyed it, but for sure I like when something happens and just puts me in another position to think again. So, you know, like also the craziness of like traveling on, of trying to be always updated, or to always try to be always like, you know, chasing after things, which is also part of the work. But at the same time, you have to always question, at least for me, it was like, okay, why did I start? What was the starting, you know, point of me wanting to become an artist, you know? So it's like I went back to the beginning somehow. And that was kind of interesting and beautiful, because like it's also very problematic for me to lose the personal ethics, in the sense like, okay, why do I do what I do? And I think the corona in a way did that, you know, like it made me think again, like it was a restart. It's not, I'm not saying that, okay, now things will probably change. No, maybe things will not change, but at least maybe this was give us the right, let's say, perspective and position to start again, and let's see.
Yeah, and also I think to think in a different way, you know, like put us in a condition that we have to start thinking out of the box and not actually keep on running to think in the same way we used to think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's good to always think out of the box anyway, even though it's not, because like in the end, I don't know, I like to, maybe because I'm also like, I'm trying to do this in my work, like, I always try to push myself into a place where I have never been before, and to challenge myself also artistically, so to see, okay, there is always more, you know, like, and I think for me the most important thing is like to acknowledge the fact that we don't work alone, that we need this thing of exchanging, of, okay, getting together, but also not just for the talk of it, but also to just say, okay, like, we know that we are like, I don't know, 100 artists in Berlin, we know that we belong to this dance community, and within that we can ask also things, you know, because I think, for example, it's very important that, I mean, I think also the people who give the money or, you know, the whatever, like, they also need another voice from the other side to know, to have they need a critical voice also at times to know that, okay, yes, this is missing, we have to really try to, we need it or whatever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree totally. And I have one last question for you, which is, if you have a wish for yourself for the future, or yes, or for your work.
Enjoy, like, what we do. I mean, we are also very privileged in a way, you know, at the same time, that we can do what we love. And I think it's really worth to do it in the best possible way, you know. That's all, with all the love. Because we are privileged, absolutely, I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful to have the chance to talk with you, Kat. Thank you very much for your time. And yes, good luck for everything.
Thank you.